Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh yeah. For those on YouTube, they see these roses were flashing.
I'll keep it in my mouth the whole episode. How does that sound? Mm-hmm. That sound okay?
Hi, hi.
I feel like we're going to be obnoxiously happy this episode.
Woo! Yeah!
And I'm all here for it.
We are the champions, my friend.
These roses smell good, don't they?
Smell so
good. Smell that rose.
I don't sound as good as Freddie Mercury, but we're the champions. Oh my gosh.
I blasted that song after. Blasted it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Utah football fans, we are Pac-12 champions!
Woo!
Woo! Could have done it without you. Could not have done it without you.
Hey, Whittingham thanked all of us.
It's true.
He said thank you to the fans.
You're going to get a thorn in your side of your head.
I could,
thing,
but
dude.
It's worth it. How does
smell
that?
The
how
roses,
does that look?
Man, it smells. Does that okay? Rose smell good?
We could just do this all day.
I could. I've been waiting for this.
I mean, if you've been with us all year, you know the drill. Like, subscribe if you're new to us. Welcome.
Welcome.
Where have you been all year? But we're glad you're here for this episode because this is a fun one.
This is going to be a good one.
Pac-12 champions. Did you see it?
Gosh.
Hey, we saw it. We kept the faith, by the way. Anyone who's listened to this thing for the last several months, though it was looking ugly, we kept the faith. And here we are. Here we are. It reality, baby.
When I heard Bill Riley say it, you know, we were leaving the stadium listening to the post game, and he said, Utah is Pac-12 champions. It was like a whole chill went through my body. It was like
body shivers.
Man, isn't it sweet?
Oh.
It's surreal in a lot of ways. Especially, I mean, when you think, you're right, you think back. We were 1-2, had just lost to two nobodies, and going into conference play, and you're sitting here going, this could get bad. This could get real ugly. It could be a 6-6 kind of year, if we're lucky. But all the credit to this team.
Here we are.
Coming together.
Absolutely, man.
Galvanized. It's just... Enjoy it. Enjoy
it. 9-1. We went 9-1.
9-1.
We went 9 and 1.
And the one was
when we were 1-2.
Yeah, the one was to Oregon State who they beat us.
They played amazing.
They played
beat
amazing
us that night,
but outside of that,
it's fantastic.
Thick boy, baby.
Oh man, we've been waiting years
Thick
for
boy
this.
Magic. We have
it's awesome.
It's Pac-12 champs. Well, let's talk a little bit about the game.
Let's do it.
I wasn't there, unfortunately.
Boo.
Boo.
You guys were there.
Loud and
tell
proud.
Us about the pregame stuff that you saw. Any like tailgating or any pep rallies, stuff like that.
I'm
sure people listening and watching.
I'm sure people were there.
We're there, yeah.
A lot of them were.
A lot of them
so
were.
What did you?
I mean, it was even out in the parking lots and even walking around the casinos and on the strip. It was 20-1 Utah fans.
Oh yeah.
Everywhere you went. I mean, it was just Utah fans and you walk, go Utes, you know, and
sweet.
We stayed at a hotel, I don't know, 15 miles from the strip. Utah fans walking through the lobby.
Yeah,
we saw a bunch of them. It was amazing. Sitting by the pool with us, people Utah fans walked in. We took over Las Vegas for the weekend. It was amazing.
I mean, the coolest part, so Thursday night we were walking along the strip. We drove down Thursday to try and avoid some of the traffic Friday.
And that rose smells good.
It smells so good. Thursday night, I mean, we saw a few Utah fans, but then Friday when we headed over there, so the team hotel was Mandalay Bay, and Allegiant Stadium's right across the freeway. What they do is they shut down the whole road so you can just walk across the freeway over to the stadium.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was like a parade of just red. Red everywhere. You maybe saw like a dozen Oregon shirts. Yeah. Like it was just red. And we walked over, we got over to Allegiant Stadium. That's where kind of the pep rally was. And you just kept watching this flood of people in red just coming and coming.
I mean, you would have thought that this was the Utah side to walk into the stadium. But it was just the general admission. Everyone Sweet. Come this way.
Yeah, because it was how you got there from the Strip.
Yeah. I mean, it was just thousands of Utah fans.
So I read, maybe it was on, the capacity of attendance. The capacity of Allegiant is 65,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was 56,000 was the total people. Mm-hmm. So it was 87% full. That's pretty good for a travel game from both teams.
From both teams, travel
both
game.
Both teams. So what was your percentage, do you think? I mean, I've heard everything.
It, like, was, it was
5-1.
It was 85%.
Oh, it's more than
percent
that.
At that minimum. More than that?
Yes, because...
By the end, it was 95%.
Well, I'd been fun Oregon Duck. I'm out of there too.
I really do think it was 90% Utah and only 10% Oregon because, so Oregon had the whole sideline, you know,
yeah,
and we had our whole sideline. Where our entire sideline was just red, both lower deck, upper deck, and then all the way into the end zones. The Oregon sideline. Yes, there was Oregon fans, but then there was Utah
peppered in it,
sprinkled all in it.
And then the upper.
And they didn't even fill the whole sideline. And then the upper over on that side was red.
It was red up above, and then from like the 10 to the 10 was green, but with red sprinkles all through it. And then they had their band in the corner.
Yeah.
And that was.
And that was it.
That was it.
So on television, at least my system, maybe some other people had a different experience, is I couldn't really. You could hear. The volume a bit of the cheering, but you couldn't really.
They must have toned it down.
Overwhelming. So what was it?
It was loud. And the stadium is domed. It's enclosed. So even when they came out for warm-ups and it got loud. I mean, it was funny. Like, Oregon Ducks come out and everyone starts to boo.
Booing.
And you're kind of going, holy cow, like, it's loud. And then the Utes ran out and the place erupted, and at that point I think everyone kind of knew, like, oh, this is a home game. It was a home game.
I mean, so before we walked into the stadium, yeah, there was a little pep rally just right outside there. The band came over, cheer, spirit, dance team, you know, and President Randall said a few words, Harlan said a few words just to the crowd. They had pom-poms, things like that, and then that was about an hour before kick, and everyone just kind of went inside you wanted to see what is Allegiant Stadium.
It's a very spiritual experience going into the Raiders Stadium, wasn't it?
James cried, you know.
A little bit.
I think he shed a tear.
Oh, my gosh. That place is...
Is it nice?
Unbelievable.
When we saw the torch for Al, which they didn't light it.
They didn't light the torch, which Dang was... I mean, they didn't turn the light switch on. That,
yeah, right.
Still, that should have been
They should have lit that.
Al? Come on.
But when you walk in, it's right there.
Right there.
So I gave it a hug. And then, I mean, it's by far the best stadium I've ever been into.
Is it cool? I mean, that black outer shell. Oh.
It's amazing. And then when we were leaving, because part of the stadium, it's clear at the top, you know? So that's really cool because when you're leaving and when it's dark, you can see all the lights. Like, you can see the game happening through the stadium wall. It's really cool.
They did an amazing job.
The stadium's unbelievable. But, of course, you know, we went over there like an hour early. We went down by the field. We were Yelling at Yogi Roth.
Clark Phillips, whose thighs, I'm not kidding.
Holy crap, that dude is ripped.
The guy's thighs are like my waist, and then his calf muscles are...
He's a small guy, but freak, he's ripped.
He's got softballs in his calves. It was insane.
But like James said, finally when... So they had the Oregon band play, and then they had the Utah band play, and then they did the national anthem, which...
Was amazing.
I have to shout out Cody Lee sang the national anthem. If you don't know who he is, look him up. He won America's Got Talent. He's from Utah. He's blind and autistic.
He's blind?
Yes.
I didn't know that but until right now.
When he sits down at a piano and starts playing and singing, he's got this just unbelievable voice. So he sang the national anthem, which was just so good. And they had fireworks going off inside.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. And then, yeah.
I got emotional. I'm not kidding.
No, it was
It was insane. A spiritual experience.
And then Oregon comes in, everyone's boo. Yeah.
With their shiz uniforms. They're even worse in person, by the way. They're so bad.
And yeah, it was a home game. I mean, everyone said it. You've heard the team say it. You've heard the coaches say it. It was Rice-Eccles South. There was on Twitter, someone said he heard an Oregon say, like, did they bring the whole effing state? Pretty much.
The amount of chatter on Twitter Thursday night, Friday morning of just the amount of people on I-15 headed south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you all made it on time. I know there was some congestion in the gorge,
there was a crash, but oh well. All right, let's talk game. I mean, I'm not sure what
where do you start?
What do you say in look, I'm very surprised that we dominated them like that and beat the crap out of them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To this, basically the same effect, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we all said it's not going to be the same. There's no way it's going to be the same.
No, yeah.
It was the exact same.
It was a field goal difference, is it?
It's like deja vu.
It literally is like the first game ended and we just went straight into the second play. Whittingham even said that they didn't change their game plan.
Why?
Why would you? And you could tell Oregon had changed some stuff. You could tell they were trying to stop the run, and Utah just said, nope.
You're not going to do that.
We threw, you know, it was from the very beginning too. That I love that we got the ball, went down, scored a touchdown, and that just set the tone.
You know, I'm just gonna say, I think I texted you during the game on that first drive.
Yes, you did.
And I mean, when Whittingham was going for it near the 50
on fourth down,
I thought, geez, man. I don't know. Maybe the listeners, those who are watching on YouTube, but. I don't think he didn't make it. Seriously, he was short. What, have you watched the game yet?
I haven't watched it.
I've watched it.
It was short. Now, I understand. They didn't even review it.
I watched the ref walk up and go, boom, okay, first down.
Fantastic.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But I love the fact that Whittingham came out and on the first series. It's the 50-yard line.
Well, we got it. So it would have been.
Right. But I love that he comes out and goes, we're all in on this game. We are all in. We're going forward on fourth and one. And that just set the tone for the whole game and for that whole team. Like, I loved it.
I don't know. It was definitely close. And on the broadcast, they showed it a couple times. But, yeah, they didn't even look at it, which is a little surprising, but.
I thought it was very surprising.
But
just quickly. First downs, 13 to 20 for the Utes.
Okay.
Total yards, 221.
Keep going.
So total yards was 221 for Oregon, 361 for Utah. Passing, 147 for Oregon, 170 for Utah. Rushing, 74, Oregon, 191 for Utah. The penalty situation, we had 10 for 89. They had 9 for 87.
So irrelevant.
And so whatever. A wash. Possession. We had 32 minutes. They had roughly 28 minutes. Those are the main stats.
You want to know what my biggest stat of the game was? Oregon did not convert a third down until there was 4 minutes left in the third quarter. That was their first third down conversion of the game, was with roughly 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter.
And at that point,
we were up 28-0. Yeah.
Okay, so we had a discussion our last podcast, you know, with the poll questions, and we had the debate about which position group or position must have a good game to win and all that stuff. We talked about the O-line and whatever. I don't feel – the interesting thing is this game, I don't think we were as clean as the first game a couple of weeks ago. Mm-mm. But nevertheless, we still kicked their butts. I felt like the offensive line had an excellent game, but I got to admit that the defense kicked the crap out of them.
The defense played better this game, even though they gave up 3 more points than they did. at Rice Eccles.
That's how I felt. It was the defense. Both sides of the ball, they both dominated the game.
Yeah, and the defense played lights out.
But like you said, they didn't convert a third down until almost the end of the game.
I can't believe that, man. I didn't notice that. I mean, I didn't. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
The defense was just, they could not do anything against us.
Starting this in the second half, they seemed to have some moments, but we immediately shut them down.
One of the biggest things about it was we had two picks in the first half that we were driving and could have been major momentum shifts in that game had Oregon gone down and scored. Both times the defense came out, stopped them. One was a missed field goal. That poor guy. He's so in his own head.
He's perfect on the entire season except playing Utah.
Except for playing Utah. He's 1-for-4 against the Utes.
Like, what is that?
It was on the other end of the field, so you could see the trajectory of the ball. The second it left his foot, I went, he missed.
Oh, yeah.
You could just see it go,
terrible kick.
But that defense stepped up and made huge plays that kept the momentum in our favor.
Yeah. So, we rushed 191 yards. We didn't hit 200, but that's dang close, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I find it impressive because they knew what we were going to do.
They just couldn't stop it.
You know, at least it feels like it. I can't talk about specifics, you know, but it felt like they stopped us at the beginning of the game, our running game. We were throwing it, doing some other things. The tight ends were huge. I mean,
tight ends and Covey.
And Covey, but as the game kept going, we kept pounding it.
But I think about our first touchdown with Thomas. Mm-hmm. He walked in untouched, completely untouched.
I think both his touchdowns were essentially untouched.
Yeah, and then Pledger had a touchdown too, right? Where it was kind of, I mean, he just fought his way through. It's like,
I fell in.
They couldn't.
We just,
like, and like we said, they knew exactly what we were going to do. It's what we did the first time we played them 2 weeks ago.
I mean, it's,
they couldn't stop it. It was strange. It was not, I just don't feel, it wasn't an Oregon team that we're used to seeing. Do you think? I mean,
well, no.
Yes and no, I guess. No,
but that's the thing is, I think we made them look.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Weaker than they actually are because I think we're good.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're good. I think that their quarterback is terrible.
Well, but you can get in his head.
They still lost three games all year, and two of them were to us. So as bad as their quarterback is or was, we forced him into some very, very dumb decisions.
We just beat him. They're a good team. And we just are the better team.
It's true. You got to give Utah the credit, and you said this to me, and you'll see it if you rewatch it, but it was like all the announcers, all they talked about was, what's going on with Oregon?
Yes, I heard that.
Why are they not playing so well? They just don't look like they're coming to play.
Yeah, they were surprised.
And that did frustrate me. It's like, no, how about you talk about how good Utah is?
Yeah.
They're just good.
I had a buddy text me during the game, and he was like, this is driving me insane. I have to mute it because it's not about, Utah is kicking the crap out of these guys. It's, what's going on with Oregon? They're just out of sync.
They just didn't show up tonight.
They sort of said but it was their because they said, look, they got a chance to go to the Rose Bowl or win the Pac-12 and go to the Rose Bowl, and it appears as if they don't have the motivation to do it. I think they came out with it. I just think we crushed it out of them.
But when you're down. When you're down 23-0 at half again, essentially, back-to-back weeks.
28, wasn't it
28? The first was 23.
But this game, yeah.
It was almost a carbon copy of...
What was with that play at the end of the...
Their dum-dum?
That stupid play at the end. What was that guy doing?
So first of all,
why did he even go for it?
So first of all, that's okay.
Oh, it was so insane. Why?
We had no timeouts.
We're talking about end of the first half.
We had no timeouts. There was 18 seconds left on the clock. You would have thought Cristobal.
You're on the 20-yard line.
Take a knee.
He had learned from the first time that if I run the ball, take a knee, we go into half down. You just 20 because we don't have 20 points.
Yeah. And we missed it.
We missed an extra point, but 20-0 and we regroup. Nope. He puts the ball in the hands of a guy who can't throw the ball.
Loses his mind.
But why did he not just run out of bounds?
He should have hucked that baby away then taken a knee.
Yeah.
He was, so his angle was straight down. I was right down the sideline. I could see what he was looking at, and I literally thought to myself, he's not going to throw that.
Because
it was literally our guy.
He was leaping out of bounds.
And he just put it right on our dude. It was just
watch the replay.
Yeah, it's
I've seen the replay.
Okay,
what is he even looking?
What did you not see that guy?
It was amazing,
standing right, it was right there. Fantastic. I mean, okay, but then but the thing is though, we hit a 50-yarder, dude.
Yeah, what Ready? The heck?
Okay, I'll clap for you on that.
Okay, our special teams had a night. They had actually a night. Like
our punting.
The punting was great. Yeah.
Best punting performance of the year. Dude.
And the 50-yarder.
50-yarder, he drilled it.
When we've had issues with our kicking all year long.
You could tell it was a monkey off his back, too, when he hit it.
Yeah.
His celebration was, it was worthy.
So, you know, we end the half.
But see, this is what's so strange. It was complete deja vu to the game that we played 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It was copy-paste.
Where we scored in, like, the last 10 seconds, 5 seconds of the first half.
We scored a touchdown with, like, 28 seconds left or something
like
that.
I know, it was so weird.
Just stupidity. It's stupidity.
It was great.
It was amazing. Dumb. Right. It was. I remember looking at it going, it's like the same thing. It's 14-0. We're driving. By the way, Rising made some passes on that drive, too. It was just so freaking fun.
It was. We dominated them. That's our word of the last of the 2 weeks. And it just,
we need a button for that. Like,
it's a fact.
Domination. We got to get a domination.
We got to find one.
Got to find that.
We do need that.
What more do you say?
Bryn, let's get into the question.
Pac-12 chance.
You asked.
Okay, so what is it? Play the game? What did you ask?
So I just asked on Instagram your favorite moment.
Oh, okay.
I like how Friday night. That's very open. I like it.
So we'll name some of these, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. But, okay, Parley Baldwin, Rising stiff-arming Sewell. I mean, you believe that?
So did you see it? Did you see it in the game live?
He was running right at us.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. And, of course, they did the replay.
And it was on Sewell.
Sewell.
Who? I'm going to say this, and Bird and I had this conversation during the game. Bird. I know Thibodeau is a great player.
Sewell's better.
He's not even the best player on his team.
No, Sewell's better.
Sewell is the best defensive player on that team, period.
How about Sewell come to Utah?
And it could.
I think might be coming.
The wheels
everybody
are
in listening, think about it.
Nephi tweeted a very cryptic tweet today. So everyone's, it just said,
Oh, do it.
Cristobal
is gone.
Is gone.
He's gone. It's
and
official.
We just kicked the snot at him twice in a row.
Come on, Noah. You want to
come play with your brother?
We're losing.
We're losing Lloyd.
Lloyd.
You replace Lloyd
with a linebacker.
Noah Sewell.
The Sewell brothers at linebacker.
My gosh.
Teaser.
He was unbelievable that game. But yeah, when Rising breaks through, stiff arms him. And
that was impressive.
He literally is in the Heisman pose. With Sewell's face mask.
Well, the thing is, he does it
strong.
He didn't stiff arm Sewell, but in the second half, he beats Sewell. Sewell bounces off
twice.
Of Rising.
Yeah.
It was what the heck?
Yeah, and then you watch Sewell manhandle some guy that's 240 pounds and grab him, throw him down like nothing. Well, I mean, that's impressive.
Sewell had the pick. Like he's a baller. So I would be thrilled to see him in the red and white next year.
Oh, that would be so amazing.
Okay.
Parley also said that his favorite moment was realizing that his ticket came with all you can eat and drink VIP.
What the freak?
Is that what he bought?
How much did you spend, bud?
No kidding, Parley.
Nice. Good choice.
Will Hamilton said his favorite moment was when Cristobal was being stupid and they threw the pick at the end of halftime. We scored the field goal.
Okay, that's, yeah.
And then, okay, Issa Color something said the sea of red walking to the stadium. We've talked
that's
about
nice.
That. Our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics, he said his favorites was Lloyd's pick six and Whittingham holding up the trophy. And then a bunch of others, of course, said Lloyd's pick six. That was the prettiest thing I've ever seen.
It happened so fast on TV.
My mind.
Oh my gosh, we just went insane. Place went
I got a story.
Insane.
I got a story for you.
Oh my gosh.
So he picks it off, he runs, scores, the place erupts.
I bet.
And the stadium, the seats are kind of flimsy. And my cup is in the holder in front of me. And I'm losing it.
Flailing everywhere.
And I turn and I hit the chairs out of excitement. And my entire cup just goes, whoosh! Coke everywhere. The two dudes in front of me, all over me. My nephew's looking at me like, you're a moron. But I didn't even care. I was so excited.
We didn't care.
No one cared. That play.
That play was because they were driving.
They were driving. They had it was their first possession.
Wasn't that we had had a pass interference, so then it gave them a first down?
Maybe,
but
it was still on their side of the field, though.
Yeah, it was still on their side of the
That's
field.
That's true. But, that play.
He read that thing. He
baited him.
Yes.
That's
and
his
watching
fourth.
The replay.
Bang, bang, he was in the end zone.
Oh, and he's gone. Fourth pick of the year. Second pick six.
Yeah, that was sweet.
So that was sweet. And then I love the Whittingham with the trophy, the team with the trophy. That was a pretty amazing moment, I will say.
Well, at the end of the game, the interview, not on the podium, but on the field with Whittingham, he got teary-eyed when he said about this season, and he talked about Aaron and Ty and everything, and he got a little bit emotional there. I thought that was, I mean, I don't know if classy's the word, but it just shows the real wit and the real team and the real feelings, and I thought it was really cool.
Here's the
good
thing.
Moment.
I mean,
great moment.
Whittingham is a very stoic, hard-nosed, like he does not show a lot of emotion. And we've talked about that before. And so to see him finally kind of show that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we can't talk about winning the championship without talking about the fact that 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, this team was at a funeral for their teammate. I mean, they were burying their teammate. And that's after they'd already done that a year ago.
Yep.
And you think about that. Like, and Aaron's mom was there at the game. She was the honorary captain. And every post-game interview, all they did was, this is for Ty and Aaron. This is for Ty and Aaron. And you can't not watch this team and just see the family and the love and the brotherhood that they all have together over losing their two best friends. And it's such a special season. I think the tragedy, the fact that they've been able to build off of that and win the Pac-12 after what we all sat here after that happened and said, look, if they don't win another game, we don't blame them. Mm-hmm. We don't blame them. If they don't even want to come out and play, we don't blame them.
Yeah, there was a period of time where it was like, if they just called it a season, everyone would be okay with it. But they went the opposite direction and won the freaking conference. I guess one of my favorite moments of the game was when they're doing the captains, right? And the Oregon's captain was Mariota. He plays for the Raiders, so he lives there. So he was their honorary captain. And then the Utes come walking out, and it's Aaron Lowe's mom, and she and Covey were holding hands.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, it was so special. And she came out and the Oregon players are giving her hugs and stuff. It was very, very cool. And then just to go out and
play the game though. Play the
game.
And
we did the
play of the game?
The pick six.
Well, I was gonna say we did the moment of loudness also.
Okay. Yeah. I knew they didn't you did that.
Yeah, it's really special when you do it in Rice Eccles. There was something really cool about doing it there.
It was, yeah.
And all the Oregon fans were doing it as well. So it was that moment of this is bigger than football. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It has to be Lloyd's pick six. I mean, that one stands out so much. Covey had an amazing game. That dude has gotten better and
better.
His
balls are this big, too, by the way. When he catches
how do you know that?
Don't worry about it. Because I'll tell you how.
What?
His balls. Because
his...
When
or
he,
what?
When don't. Here's how I know. Because he's getting a punt, and he's going, he catches it, and there's a dude
dang.
3 feet from him.
I know. But
he got lit up
sometimes and just get down, man.
No, I'll tell you my play of the game. The Lloyd was awesome. For me, it was the touchdown pass to Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, it was nice.
Because at that point, that was kind of when I went,
sealed the deal.
We're winning this game.
A little bit, yeah.
We're in complete control. We're winning this game. That's kind of the moment that I could breathe just a little bit.
That's when we started looking at flights to
LA
and realizing.
Jesse's showing me pictures of flights and going, dude, let me just enjoy this.
Realizing that they're.
That sounds like Jesse.
I looked at it. We got a look and they're like $1,300
a piece. And then I was
like,
I'm driving anyway, so it doesn't matter what the flight.
But it was. It was like, that's when you started going, holy crap, we're going to win this thing. We're going to the Rose Bowl. Because they weren't coming back. The way they were playing, the way we were playing, they weren't coming back.
I don't know. That. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Lloyd thing. I'm not sure if I have one play that stands out, but we've actually touched upon the ones I was thinking about beyond the Lloyd touchdown. But it was, the Cam's runs. He made some nice throws, but his Cam runs. And when he did stiff arm Sewell, the thing about Cam Rising, he made some huge runs at the needed time in the game. It's like third down, and he made some runs and got his first downs.
That's what he does.
That's when he stiffed arm Sewell. And I just thought, man, you know, that's our quarterback stiff arming this this dude. That was just representative to me of the will of Utah.
Here's a little insider info as well, is that supposedly Rising is still not 100%. So we still have not seen.
What do you mean?
His shoulder.
With his shoulder.
Who?
Don't worry about how we know things.
I'm not going to reveal my sources here. I'll tell you offline. But he's about 60-ish percent.
What do you mean?
This is what I'm saying. I have an inside source. So for next year, but if you heard him say at the end of the game, I think it was when he was talking to Yogi Roth, and he said, a year ago, I was on an operating table.
Yeah, did you hear that? He said, he's like, I've been thinking about this. A year ago and a day, I was sitting on an operating table having surgery on my shoulder. And he goes, and now
we're winning the Pac-12.
He's the leader. He's the guy.
He's so happy. I just love his joyful energy. And
I do too. California freaking dude from Texas that just crushes your will when you're on the other team.
Somebody did say on Instagram, hold on, let me pull them up.
Anything else there we want to talk about?
That their favorite moment. The Instagram handle is Don't Want Dis Smoke.
Love it. It's a good one.
Was when they played Bad Moon Rising at the trophy ceremony.
They did.
Yeah, that's nice.
It was good.
Okay.
That's sweet. Well, Pac-12 champs, and we're going to the granddaddy of them all.
That
one has thorns on it.
The Rose Bowl.
They all have thorns on it. They're roses.
That is so sweet.
Where's my rose? You picked my rose up?
No.
This is what you shoot for. This is what you strive for. This is what you play for.
Okay, let me ask this question here before we talk about the Rose Bowl. Your impressions of it. And maybe there's no right or wrong on this. It's just I'm interested in knowing.
Inhale that rose smell.
Is it more important to you that we won the Pac-12 or that we're going to the Rose Bowl?
Good question.
You know,
for me,
because those are two different things. The Rose Bowl has nothing to do with the Pac-12 championship.
So yeah, I'll phrase it this way. If it was, we've had opportunities to go to the Rose Bowl with certain wins without winning the Pac-12. There was 2 years ago, if Oregon doesn't lose to ANSU, then they go to the playoff and we go to the Rose Bowl without winning the conference. That would have been a little hollow in a lot of ways. I mean, it's still the Rose Bowl. Winning the conference is bigger to me than going to the Rose Bowl. I'm ecstatic. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
But given one of the two, I want the conference.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you have to have that accomplishment to go to the Rose Bowl, except like you said, sometimes not necessarily.
Kiss yourself.
Don't draw blood or something. Jeez. He pricked himself.
No.
Anyways.
Test my glucose now.
Winning the Pac-12 is the accomplishment. The Rose Bowl is just the icing on top.
Especially to beat Oregon twice by, like, what was it, 70-17 in two games, something like that.
Oh, well, and let's talk
more
about
than that, actually.
Let's talk about this. So
76.
Where did it go?
17.
What did you say? Did you give us an answer, or did you just bypass it?
I said, no. I said the championship, because that's the accomplishment, and then the Rose Bowl is just.
It's a hard question. We should put that out as a poll question for everybody. But for me, I think, the championship of the Pac-12. I mean, that's fantastic. So I think it's a little bit
Look, I'll just say this.
More significant, but hey, man.
Arizona has been in the Pac-10 since 1993, okay? So, what is that, 30 years, essentially? They've never done this. They've never done this, and they've been in it for 30 years. We did it in 11, 10.
The Pac-12, winning the championship, it's you've gone through the gauntlet. You've gone through...
the ups and downs.
These other you have to get through all these other teams to get there. That's the major goal.
Yeah.
And then the Rose Bowl is just like, it's a treat. It's awesome.
I mean, yeah. You win the league that you're in. You're the champions. That's what you play for, is to be the champions. I like that, the cherry on top. But it ain't just any cherry, baby.
No, it's the granddaddy. Okay,
this is what I was going to say, is it came out today that our championship game was the second most viewed Pac-12 title game in the last 5 years. We had 4.2 million viewers on ABC. And then how many did we have 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago when we played them at home, we had 5 point something. So in the last two games that we played Oregon, both on ABC, 9 point something million views.
People know who Utah is now, baby.
Yes, indeed.
I'm a little worried that people know who our coaching staff is now, too. Please don't leave. Morgan, please don't leave.
Okay. Let's.
He's not leaving.
That'll be discussion for a different
show. Yeah, that's for a future date. So the New Year's 6 bowl games. These are the big ones. The big ones.
Yeah.
So, of course, Utah plays Ohio State, and in the future, before that game, we'll have some comments. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that, break that down.
We'll break that down later. In fact, we've had conversations with a certain Yogi Roth who's going to join our podcast in a couple of weeks. So
sweet.
He'll break it down better than we can.
We'll talk about it.
That's
not
what
we do. He's a handsome bastard, by the way.
Yes, he is. James, you got to beep that out. So inappropriate.
Hey.
He is.
That's Saturday, January 1st at... in the afternoon, it's like 2 or 3 or something.
I think it's 2 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, so 3.
Man, it's prime time.
Pasadena.
So you've got the Peach Bowl.
Who's playing in that?
You got Michigan State against Pitt. Got the Cotton Bowl. This is one of the Final Four. Mm-hmm. That's the Alabama-Cincinnati game.
Stupid. Go Bearcats.
Alabama freaking losers.
The Orange Bowl is the other of the Final Four. It's Michigan and Georgia.
Freaking Georgia, go biggest blue. Losers.
Those two are on the Friday night, or Friday.
Oh, okay.
Because the championship game's a week after.
Yeah.
The Fiesta Bowl is Notre Dame and Oklahoma State, which is January
1. Did you see the end of the Oklahoma State game, by the way?
That much.
An inch.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Dives for the pylon and an inch.
I know, but they had 4 downs from, what, the 5?
They had 4 downs from the 2 and couldn't get in.
Stupid. And then you've got...
bunch of losers.
The Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss, and Baylor. And that's...
that'll be a good one.
January 1st. Go Baylor. Those are the big ones.
Excuse me, but...
and there we are.
How many of those have we played in?
Well, this will be 3 of the 6.
It'll be 3 of the 6. That's half.
Wow.
That's insane.
Think about it. This is as big.
That is insane.
The Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, now
the Rose Bowl.
Utah fans.
And I saw this on Twitter, and I've talked to you about this. You've been around since the 70s,
forever.
80s,
oh, you're really
90s.
Old.
When Brigham Young built Utah.
You sit there and you think to yourself, well, Utah wins 6 games this year, and now we're at the stage of Utah's going to the freaking Rose Bowl versus the Ohio State University. Did you ever think we'd reach this point?
It's pretty awesome. I did. I knew it was going to happen at some point. You know, we haven't talked about this. We both, when we were in Vegas, it was strange. I was strangely calm on Friday.
I was so calm on Friday. And until even, about 4 o'clock.
Yeah. When we got in the stadium, then my stomach started freaking out. But like leading up to it was just like, I felt very confident about it.
I did too.
But then it was starting to mess with my head. Like, well, should I feel confident about it? I just felt this was our year.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I think I feel the same way. When I posted today the New Year's 6 teams, the brackets and all that,
mm-hmm.
I made the comment. I go, honestly, no surprise to me. Mm-mm. That we should be here. I don't find that we're an outsider. I feel like the way we we've been playing.
No, it's not this
and where we're at.
And then Utah.
We like, should be here.
Why is Utah in this? No. Based off how we're playing, we absolutely belong. Yeah.
Woo.
Okay.
Smell the roses. You're gonna pierce your tongue something like that.
I took all the thorns off.
There's gonna be a small one or something that's gonna prick you.
No, I think I'm good.
Here's the college football playoff final rankings. Just give me your impression when you hear them. You probably saw some of the games or whatever, but you had Alabama number one. That's gross. I mean, I don't think
I'm so sick of it.
So freaking gross.
Everybody's so. I mean, come on.
But hey, good for them.
It's sick. Michigan number two.
Yeah, that's well earned.
I mean, good for them. Georgia number three.
Georgia. This is. I have said this on this podcast before. This is atypical Georgia. Every single year, it's. Man, Georgia looks good, their defense. Yeah. Georgia looks good, their defense. They give the SEC championship game.
They got creamed.
Should not be able to play in the playoff if you did not win your conference.
Preach. Especially when you get blown out like they did.
Cincinnati at four.
Love it. Give them a shot. They're really good.
13-0. The thing is, you have to admire, though, both, or the top three only lost a game, each of them. Pretty good. And they play good teams too.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame 11-1. They're at five. Ohio State, they're at six.
They've also only lost one.
10-2. They lost to Oregon.
Oh, that's right. Michigan. And Michigan. I forgot about Michigan.
Oklahoma State at nine. Michigan State at 10. And lo and behold.
Who's at 11?
It's Utah.
Hey, Cougar board.
He's
been waiting
to say that
for 3 months.
No. Well, hey, Zoobs that follow us and like to mock us.
Weirdly follow us.
Zooby board. Weird. Utah's at 11, it looks like to me on this.
So at the last official poll of the regular season college football year
Utah's
of our Lord 2021.
Utah is 11th in the country.
Okay.
Pittsburgh at 12.
Okay. And then who?
And then the Zoobs are at 13.
Interesting.
Oh, darn it.
Interesting.
Oregon at 14, Iowa, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, and
so on and so forth.
And so on and so forth. So we jumped six spots.
That's rightfully so.
That's pretty big.
Anyone who watched the last month of Utah football knows that that's not a fluke. This is real.
You know,
it's really fun playing meaningful football in November and December, wouldn't you say?
Let it out.
Yeah, we're going to let it out a little, just a little bit here. We've been mocked and so forth, but to all the Zoobs out there, have fun in your Independence Bowl playing
UAB.
UAB.
Hey, it's University of Alabama.
Yeah, you get University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Birmingham, but just ignore the
enjoy that.
Have fun playing a, what are they, 6-6 something? Nobody's heard of team.
Well done. So we'll go to our little Rose Bowl.
Yeah, you beat us, but what does that smell?
But as it,
here, if you need to borrow
it's
something,
the whole season
to wipe
matters.
Your tears, you can just use this rose to wipe your tears.
Here, I know it's really hard for you, Zoobs.
Yeah,
particularly Cougar board.
You know they keep talking about a game in September. I'm really more worried about the game that happened in December.
Well, and I think the committee is a little more worried about what happens in November than they are in September.
Yep.
I know that I have read a few posts on Cougar board, and I'm just saying, there's some weird stuff going on
over
there.
Seek help.
Out of the kindness and love I have for Zoobs on Cougar board, seek psychiatric help immediately.
Well, I'm not joking here. I've seen some comments that it's like, you should talk to somebody about this because it is
just come to realization that Utah is the premier football team in the state. Yeah. And it just shows again.
Even when you beat us,
you can't
still
beat
can't
us.
Beat us.
Look.
And how I have proof of it is right here.
Right here, and we got a trophy. Oh, enjoy your stupid little shirts.
Which, the trophy is at the football center.
Why are we here? Let's go.
You can see it through the window. One of the players tweeted it today.
Okay.
We got to drive over there. We should drive over there and
tonight.
See it.
I'm going over there tonight.
Here's what I will say.
Say it.
Poor little.
Preach to us.
Poor little Zubies. Look.
Oh, Bryn's getting in on it.
Ooh, Bryn.
I do. Look. Okay. They've had a great season.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have.
So to have.
My bet.
To have a great season and still.
Be little brother.
Be in the Independence Bowl against UAB. I get it. That would suck. But that's part of the conference. And you know what? All the crap that you guys have been saying about us for the last week in your Pac-12 championships, because you won 5 Pac-12 games. Who's the real champions?
Yeah, show us the trophy.
You got shirts and banners.
Yeah, they
got
a
giant piece
of
metal over at the facility.
See, that's only Zoobs and Zoobies on Cougar Board get off on a shirt that says they're the Pac-12 champ. It's a joke. It's just among themselves because everybody else throughout the nation. If you just listen to the analysts and their analysis and look at the other polls, the big polls, not some cheap, dumb ones, jumped them.
In any conference, if you win 5 games, you're not the champion. So sorry, Zoobs. Just because you won 5 games, we are the champions.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
I love it.
Get some mental help. If you're comparing you not getting in a New Year's Six Bowl against martyrdom and jailing
and the plight of the prophet Joseph Smith.
That's
pretty sick.
I'm sorry to tell you.
Which I saw as an actual post.
Yeah,
seriously, go
it
see
is.
Somebody.
Someone I read is boycotting.
It was bigotry, is what they said.
Because of bigotry against,
I'm sure
against the Zoobs.
You know, for the last 10 years, I've been told that independence is the greatest thing in the world. This is a result of independence.
Exactly. It sucks.
You got screwed because, you didn't get screwed. You didn't get to play the big boy game.
You get what they get.
Because you're a little boy nothingness, not a conference. And some of us are driving to Pasadena.
And we got this massive Pac-12.
And I got a big old rose in front of
right
me.
Right here.
And we are the champions.
So cheers to you.
Here's to you, Zuby and Cougar Board.
All right.
We'll be thinking of you in your little old bowl game.
I'll watch the bowl game. I'm sure you'll win by 65.
Enjoy that win.
And you'll have a little trophy, and that sounds cool. But that's even before Christmas, so you'll have a whole lot of free time.
I'll just, one last thought.
One last thing, and then we'll move on.
Then we got to move out of this. It's just, did you really think you were good enough to be in the,
yes,
in the final 6 teams.
Yeah, they did.
See, that's delusional. There is not a chance. Not a chance.
No.
Hey.
They live in La La Land. Not. It is
delusional. Which is ironic. As everybody else knew, they wouldn't.
Pasadena's in La La Land.
Everybody else knew they wouldn't. Yet they. And it just.
You deserve to be in the top 12.
Come into reality. Yeah. Just accept your place.
I'll send you roses. Send me your
as the baby brother. It's just the way it is. It's
what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go with the Jackassery Award.
Oh, okay.
Give us the Jackass. Well, got anything else?
I've got a mini Jackass Award.
Okay, you give that one.
I'll give the mini one.
Mini Jack.
So here's my mini Jack. So Pro Football Focus is a website that is all analytically based, right? It's all about stats and analysts and this guy does this and this guy does this, not based off of the eye test, but based off of the physical, tangible stats that they do.
Mm-hmm.
They gave, what's his face for Oregon, number 5, what's his freaking name?
Thibodeau,
the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
They gave him the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, which he's a phenomenal player. Don't get me wrong. We talked about it.
I get it. Yeah.
But based off of their own metrics and based off their own analysts, Devin Lloyd statistically is higher. So they went and they went, this guy's statistically higher, but we're going to give it to this guy because for whatever reason.
Now that was prior to the championship.
Prior to the championship game, but still based off of the regular season, Lloyd was ranked higher and they still gave it to Thibodeau.
Remember how I have a picture with Devin Lloyd?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's the MVP.
Jesse.
NFL First rounder.
Raiders. Go to the Raiders.
Oh, my gosh, please.
All right, give us
Okay, now give us the other, the Jack, the Big Jack.
Big Jack, yes. Big Jack.
Well, this is just something that we observed at the game. It was the end of the game. We, of course, left our seats and tried to get as far down as we could so that we could be a part of the celebration. So we were...
Like many did.
Yeah, we sure. were down at the front. And
should
we,
do it.
We happened to be right by the stairs that led down to the field. So when the game ended and they're everyone's out on the field celebrating, they're setting up for the trophy presentation. And the people with the field passes started going down the stairs to get on the field. It's family members of the coaches and the players. And a couple big dudes started going down the stairs.
Big.
Now, it didn't look like they had the proper stickers or pass or whatever. So the security at the bottom of the stairs would not let these big men through. So it started a scuffle. Mm. And then the security started, like, pushing everybody back up the stairs. And it was, I mean, there was a ton of people trying to get down. So anyways, so then they kind of just blocked it. Like, no one else could go down. Well, then the coaches and the players all start coming over to try and find their families. Even Morgan Scally had to come to the bottom of the stairs. He had to walk up the stairs to find his wife so his wife could make it on the field. You know, she gave him a huge hug, everything. All the players kept coming over and going,
"That's my dad.
That's my mom. Can't she come down?" No, she doesn't have the proper pass. Like,
that's jackass.
It was horrible to watch.
So then certain players, Nick Ford being one of them, they wouldn't let his family down. So he said, "Screw it. I'll go up to my family." They wouldn't let the players leave and go up to their family.
Some of them did, though.
Some of them just said, screw you, I'm going
so
up.
So the Jackass Award goes to Allegiant Stadium security because you know what? At that point, all of Oregon had left the field. Everyone was gone. If a player was saying, that's my mom, let her on the freaking field. It wasn't a bunch of dumb A fans trying to get on the field.
I thought about jumping onto the field, but it was not Rice Eccles. It was a solid 10-foot drop. And I don't think my ankle could handle it.
So they get
the
jackass because let the families down to celebrate with their brothers, with their child. I mean, this is a huge accomplishment. That was very disappointing to me, but.
That's the jackass. Okay, well.
In Pasadena.
Well, we'll have another episode.
12 champs. Yeah, we'll have a couple. One or two, maybe.
Hey, buy the tickets. I've seen quite a few Utah fans buying the Ohio State tickets already. Yeah. You seen that?
Well, because they're open to the public.
They're open.
They're not doing it the way that Utah's doing
it. So all the Utah tickets will be bought by Utah fans, and then the Ohio State side will have a bunch of Utah fans.
I also did hear Tuesday morning, so this might come out after, but I heard the Rose Bowl is also going to release more.
Okay.
So keep your eye out, and if you're thinking about it,
go.
Just do
go.
It.
We went, I'll just tell you this, for the Sugar Bowl, we went back and forth on this. It was It's expensive. I get it. But it was like, finally, we just said, screw it. Let's go. Never once have I regretted.
Yeah, because we won it.
Even still.
I know.
But the experience
now you gotta go
of
to
going
these.
To this, you have to.
Big Look, time.
You can't take money to heaven with you. You can only take your memories. So
no, thanks for
taking
that.
This rose.
Philosophy. Appreciate it. Well.
Can't take money to heaven.
You can't.
It's true.
Utah. Pac-12 champs. And going to the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. We're going to the Rose Bowl, and we're playing Ohio State, and we're going to take them out, too.
We are going to take them out. Cheers.
Cheers.
Utah, it's a good day to be a Ute. Is it
Cheers.
Not?
Cheers. Your rose.
Woo!
Yee-hoo!
We're...
I love it.
I want Woo! To stand up. It's so surreal.
Oh, yes. Victory.
I
it's
love
so
winning.
Sweet. The thrill of victory.
And watching the agony of defeat.
Use.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.